It gives me the opportunity to bring you the message today. And we've been working in Proverbs. This will be our last Sunday in Proverbs, I believe. And so today's message is about integrity. And Proverbs brings attention to integrity a number of times, as does the whole Bible. Being a person of, person of integrity is an important aspect of godly life. And the Proverbs at 11:3 says this: "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." A person of integrity has the blessing of the Lord. To have integrity is to be consistently and predictably honest in your dealings and relationships. It's a noble thing to be known as a person of integrity. It means that you're willing to do what's right, even if it costs you. It means doing what's right, even when no one sees your actions. Simply put, integrity is more than just telling the truth. Integrity is doing what you said you would do. Integrity means keeping your promise. Integrity means that your word and your actions are the same. In other words, you practice what you preach. As someone has said, integrity is the foundation stone of eternal life. You know, there was a time when maintaining one's integrity was important, is just as important as breathing. However, the word integrity has almost vanished from the vocabulary of modern Americans. And we see proof of that around us all the time. Read the newspaper, watch the news. We see events like the failure of Enron and their fraudulent representations of their value. We see people like Bernie Madoff, who stole hundreds of millions of dollars of other people's money. We see the collapse of the housing market after loans were given to people who lied about their income and assets and then defaulted. Over and over, the examples continue to surface, showing how pervasive the lack of integrity is in the world today. In a day when morals are crumbling around us, the call to Christians to live with integrity is critical and challenging. It requires the willingness to stand alone. Yet no one who stands for God ever stands alone. God stands with him. Amen. God sees integrity and he blesses it. Let's take a look at ourselves this morning and ask this question: am I living a life of integrity? If you're not, then you'd better scrap your present value system. Determine what's important and change your lifestyle, because your salvation depends upon it. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" When I was a police officer, I learned one very important truth. And that is that the only thing a police officer has to have to be successful in his job is integrity. It doesn't matter what training you've received, how much experience you have, what investigative skills you have. If you don't have honesty, credibility, or any of the other descriptive words for integrity, you're wasting your time, because your word will never be accepted. And at that point, you can't function as a police officer, because your testimony will not be believed. As a training officer, integrity was the core of the instructions I presented. As a supervisor, most of the officers I had to discipline had integrity issues. Many of these officers left law enforcement, either on their own or as a result of personnel actions. And that's how important integrity is. And integrity is the core teaching of the Bible. From the very beginning, the Word of God tells us to be people of integrity. In Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And in Deuteronomy 23:23, "You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. God's premise in the Old Testament is if you made a vow before God, that you were obligated to keep that vow. An oath or a vow is a serious statement or declaration. It's made with an appeal to God for truth of what is affirmed. If you took a vow, if you wanted to be taken seriously, you must keep the vow that you made. If you invoke God's name in a vow and don't keep it, you bring dishonor on God. Now, Jesus expanded on that to quite a degree and changed the concept in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:33. He told us, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, because you cannot make even one hair black or white. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." In that time, when an oath was made and was broken, there was an elaborate system in the Old Testament time, which the religious leaders would judge how close an oath came to God and whether or not it was a valid oath that needed to be kept. There were whole sections of the Jewish teaching that dealt with vows, which were valid, which were not valid. The idea behind this was if God's name was used, God became a partner in the transaction. And if God's name wasn't used, God had nothing to do with it. So in their view, some oaths had to be kept and some didn't matter and could be ignored. Jesus was saying that it doesn't matter the context of your oath. If you made a promise, you kept your promise. Keeping your word is integrity. A person of integrity is validated by their words and their deeds. If we are pure in heart, we can be pure in action. Integrity is making my daily actions line up with my heart's values. According to William Barclay in his commentary on Matthew, he said, "Here is a great eternal truth. Life cannot be divided into compartments, in some of which God is involved, in others he is not involved. There cannot be one kind of language in the church and another kind of language in the shipyard or the factory or the office. There cannot be one kind of standard of conduct in the church and another standard in the business world. The fact is that God does not need to be invited into certain departments of life and kept out of others. He is everywhere, all throughout life, in every activity of life. He hears not only the words that are spoken in his name. He hears all words. And there cannot be any such thing as a form of words which evades bringing God into a transaction. We must regard all promises as sacred. If we remember that all promises are made in the presence of God, so let's be realistic. We need to understand the value of integrity in order to maintain it in our lives. Few of us will pay the price for an item in the store unless we're in agreement that the item is worth the price we pay. Now imagine going into the store to buy a pair of shoes for $150. Now, I don't want to step on any toes here because people buy shoes, okay. But to me, just to me, a pair of shoes is not worth more than, $50. And I'll shop around until I find something around $30. Now you can see. $29.95, there we go, okay. Why? Because I have in my mind that a pair of shoes has so much value. If you try to get me to buy anything else, I won't do it because I don't see the value in it. Now, let's look at computers. Yeah. They all look almost the same on the outside, but some cost a whole lot more than others. What's the difference? The difference is what's on the inside. Now, I used to sell computers, and Jess knows what I'm talking about because he's in the business now. It's the power and the guts of the computer that dictate the price. So integrity is not a fad like a pair of shoes. It's more like a computer. It's what's on the inside that counts. If I'm going to be a person of integrity, then I must understand the value to determine its worth, the price I must pay. Integrity provides me with protection. In Psalm 25:21, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. You know, as Mark Twain said, speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what your lie was. When I have integrity, I have protection. I have less fear and less stress because I don't have to look over my shoulder all the time. And integrity provides me with security. Proverbs 10:9. A man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. I can be confident that what I do is right and it will prosper. If you walk with integrity, you don't have to worry about having a shaky foundation for what you do. It provides a firm foundation. And integrity provides me with guidance. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. In a society without moral absolutes, anything goes. When people can choose what is right or wrong without having a standard, how do you decide which way to go? If you just do whatever you want to, eventually, you'll be caught in your duplicity. It will come back to bite you. But if you live in integrity, then your decisions really are easier to make because your integrity guides you. And integrity provides me with hope. In Job 4:3, is not your fear of God your confidence and integrity of your ways your hope? Hope for what? Hope that someday when I stand before God, I will not be ashamed of how I lived, and he will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Hope that I will be commended and not rebuked for my lifestyle and the testimony that I had while alive. So how do we do it? How can we become people of integrity? What can I do or change in my life so that I can experience the benefit of integrity and the blessing of God? Well, first, we're going to ask God to test our hearts. Have any of you ever had an EKG? I've had a few of those in my life. What's the purpose of it? It's to determine the health of your heart, to help find potential problems, and to help diagnose future problems. It's a test of the condition of the heart. Now we need to let God examine our hearts, an EKG in a spiritual sense. He needs to come in and find out the condition of our heart and fix it before major problems take over. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. You see, God is pleased with integrity and examines the heart to see if a person is filled with integrity or full of baloney. What you believe in your heart will determine how you act when placed in a tempting situation. So how does God show us what is questionable and also what is characteristic of integrity? One way is through the Word, the Bible. And that's why the next point is so vital. And that is study to know what is true. Throughout the Bible, you will find the words honesty, purity, truth, uprightness, complete, all translated from the same word, meaning integrity. They're all synonymous. If, therefore, we're going to live lives of integrity, we must know what integrity looks like. That comes from spending time in the Bible with God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." If we take the time to read and study the Bible and apply the truths that we read to our lives, then we can live lives of integrity. Why? Because the Bible is the only standard for living that is true and unchanging. And one of the reasons we have small group Bible studies is to study the Word of God and to learn principles that God has outlined in it. We believe that with all our hearts, the Bible has the answers to life's tough questions, the power for our difficult times, and the practical truths that can make us successful in this life. You'll never come to stability in your life if you fail to spend time studying the Bible. You'll be like a boat tossed around in every storm that you face. And that's outlined in Ephesians 4:14, where it says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." Living the Christian life without studying the Bible is like trying to fix something without reading the instructions. It doesn't work. And third, we need to apply God's word to our daily activities, the things that we do every day, the just routine stuff that isn't really particularly special. In Psalms 15:1 and 2, it says, "O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart." Walking in integrity means integrating all of what God's word says into our daily activities. It means that I become a doer of the word. As James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." The fact is that God's word has pretty clear instructions for each of us. If we do what God says and we apply what we learn to our lives, we will become people of integrity. We will have hope and guidance and security and protection. If we don't apply what the Bible says to our lives, we become shallow and empty. We must live up to what we say we are. If we call ourselves Christians, we must live as Christ did, in accordance to the Word of God. When we say we are Christians and we live contrary to the Bible, it's going to disappoint people and anger others. It paints a negative picture of God and damages our chance for sharing God's love with other people. A person of integrity is the same on the inside as he is on the outside. And that requires that we apply the Word of God to our lives. Next, we need to remain faithful in spite of the circumstances. Have you ever gone through those times in your life where it feels like your whole world is caving in? It seems like you'll not be able to handle another day of calamity. If one more thing goes wrong, I'm going to lose it. I have a word for you today. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever, ever give up Do whatever you can to remain faithful. And we'll use Job as our example. He was a man that went through an awful lot, but remained faithful. In Job 2:3, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." God commended Job for his character. He is blameless and upright, fears God, shuns evil. His character was good. The fact that he kept his character intact in spite of the best efforts of Satan to make him a man, made him a man of integrity. Now think about it. He lost his home, his kids, his wealth, his health, but he never gave up on God. If you feel like you're about ready to give up on God, take time today to pray and ask God to renew your strength. Find a friend, a brother and sister in the church. Ask them to pray with you. I attended a funeral from Antigua police officer Stephen Dowswell a little over a week ago. Stephen lost a long battle with leukemia. He was a Christian man of integrity, and he displayed that in his life. They read his favorite scripture passage from Isaiah 40, where it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And that applies to all of us as well. If we place our hope in God, He is faithful and will renew us. But one might say, "But Stephen died. His faith didn't save him." But I disagree. He was saved the day he committed his life to Christ. My thought, and one that is shared by his family, is that he is totally well, fully healed, and preparing a place for his family in heaven. Life is short, but heaven is forever. The time of pain and loss here on earth becomes a time of celebration and rejoicing in heaven. We must remain faithful to God because He remains faithful to us. And finally, refuse to be persuaded by others. In Mark 12:14, we read, they came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now this was an attempt, a blatant attempt, to trap Jesus into choosing Caesar over God. And it failed totally. Because Jesus pointed out that our relationship with God is not reduced by our obligations to the world. Jesus did not let them persuade him to turn from God's preeminence. He said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, render unto God that which is God's." You can separate that. Job, speaking of Job earlier, Job had three friends who were not the kind of friends you want to have. They kept trying to convince Job that he had sinned against God and needed to get right with God. But, Job knew better. He had faith. And he knew that his connection with God was secure. And even Job's wife gets in on the act and tells Job, "Are you still holding on to your integrity?" Now, that's a heck of a thing to say to somebody in Job's position. "Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God, but not trouble?" In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said and maintained his complete trust in God. We must never let others dictate what we do. They must never come between us and what is right, what is full of integrity. To become a person of integrity, I must do what is right and refuse to be persuaded by others. Have you ever heard the phrase, everybody else is doing it? Yeah, well, that's one of those lame real rationalizations that we use to justify our actions. And to be a person of integrity means that you're willing to go against the crowd if the crowd is wrong. Amen. It means be willing to stand alone if necessary for what is right. It means peer pressure is no pressure for you. You see, it's not what other people think about you that counts. It's what God thinks of you. It's the only thing that matters. Whether that is today or at the end of your life, sooner or later you'll agree with me that the only thing that counts is what God is going to think and say about you. And His Word says this in Job chapter 8. Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will He support the evildoers. The fact that integrity has a much higher value than riches or fame. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor man who walks in integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. But integrity has to be worked at. 101st Psalm. I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. And as we close, I'll call the worship team up. If it doesn't work with integrity, it doesn't work. If it isn't the uppermost focus in our lives, every minute of every day we need to change our priorities. It has to start with each of us being deliberate about modeling it. It means making sure that what we say and what we do, no matter what the circumstances, line up with each other. It means making our actions line up with our heart and making sure our heart is in tune with God. Jesus should affect how we conduct ourselves. And when we say we're going to do something, it's as good as done. Jesus said that if you're going to be a part of His kingdom, that we must be people of our word. Be a person who people can count on. And glorify God through your life. Show Christ through your life. Demonstrate His love in integrity in everything you do and in every interaction you have with others. And when people see what you have, they'll want it too. And that will lead them to a life-saving relationship with God. We are Christ's hands and feet in this world. And we must do His will with love and integrity. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just open our hearts and our minds to You to ask You to come and help us become even more filled with integrity as You would have us be. In this world around us, Lord, there are so many temptations, so many distractions, so many things going on. We see so many people that don't seem to care what's right and wrong. They seem to be interested in how much money they can make or how much power they can have. But they don't really think about You. And Lord, we don't want to become that. We want to become people that model Jesus in the world today. And we can only do this with your help, Lord. We open our hearts and our minds to You. Guide us. Teach us, show us the way that we should go, and walk with us every day in everything that we do. Lord, we thank You for all the gifts You've given us, for Your just boundless love and the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus, who made our relationship with You possible and our salvation real. And we thank You in His name. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing our closing song today.